Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36 read this way. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. God is infinite. He's beyond the boundaries of our mind grasping. His power, his knowledge, his age, his plans, his purposes. Oh, Bob West, bless you. Bless you. So good to see you. Oh, let's get a hug after church. And hi. Hi. Nice to meet you, man. Oh, what was I saying? God is infinite. Yeah, that's what I was saying. We cannot measure God's knowledge in books and study them and say, now I get it. And how this relates to us is a number of ways, but one of them is simply the reality that sometimes, because God's ways and judgments are inscrutable and beyond searching out, sometimes what he ordains for you and me will not be able to be grasped. Are you with me? Sometimes what he ordains in your life is not going to be able to be understood by you. If you have a pencil or a pen, there should be some in the pews in front of you if you didn't bring your own. I would like you to go ahead and grab a piece of paper or a bulletin or a scrap of some kind, and I would like you to try to write down an answer to my question, which is this. What are some roles or assignments that God has called you into that you would not have chosen for yourself? But he has called you into them. Or to ask it another way, is there any discomfort in your life that you believe walking through it is the will of God for you? Write that circumstance down, please. Again, what are some roles or assignments that God has called you into that you would never have chosen for yourself? Or is there any discomfort in your life that you know it's God's will that you walk through it? Write that down. We will all of us come to a place of bumping into something in God that we won't understand. At some point. I mean, we can't even understand the world he's made. You know, 100 years ago when people began to theorize of cells or whenever it was, they had no concept of DNA yet. They had no idea the complexity of a cell. They had no idea the hundreds of thousands of factors taking place. You know, once, Sim, you were a one cell inside your mom's womb. One little cell was you. Every little thing that you would ever become was embedded inside of one tiny little cell. And that cell had instructions in the DNA and in the RNA. And as that cell divided, they developed more and more complex things so that muscles and skin and hair and bone and blood vessels and all the organs began to form. And at just the right time, when you needed a circulatory system, the heart began to beat and pump the blood. At just the right time when you began to need hormones, your adrenals began to secrete them. At just the right time, all the various factors began to work. And we kind of understand that. Kind of. But 200 years ago, if you would have said that, they would have said you were foolish. And the things that we took for fact 200 years ago, we laugh at now. And who knows, but 100 years from now, they may laugh at us because we believed in photons and electrons and gravity. They may laugh at us. because the limits of human understanding are always being expanded. But as they expand, we don't see it suddenly becomes clearer and more simple. We suddenly see that it becomes far more complex than we ever imagined. How can we then understand our Creator? And some of us right now are walking through some seasons where to be faithful to God is to submit to walking through pain that makes no sense to us if He loves us. No sense. No sense at all to us. And in the passage we just read in Romans 11, it says, who's known the mind of the Lord, or who has ever been His counselor? You know, when I need advice, sometimes I call on my good friends who I trust. I may call the elders, or I may call my dad, or I may call my cousin Jeremy in Ohio. I may call on some people who can give me counsel because I'm up at the limits of my understanding and I need some help. And of course, I call on the Lord. But who has the Lord ever called on for counseling? But I'll tell you one thing that I know. Something like 90-something percent of Americans pray, and I'll bet you most of their praying is counseling God. God, how could you? God, why did you? God, you need to. God, you need to get this done. You need to change that person. I need you to do this for me. I need you. This is what you should have done, and now this is what I'm telling you to do. We counsel God. We give Him advice. We tell Him what He ought to be doing. Who has ever counseled God? Most of us. But who has ever been able to be His counselor? None of us. His mind is beyond searching out. As Mary said, I'm not sure the exact words you used, but you were talking about prayer. And prayer isn't just telling God what you want Him to do, is it? It's surrendering your will to His will. It's not telling Him what you think. It's coming to agree with what He thinks in some kind of exchange. I'm not saying it's wrong to just tell Him what you want. That's absolutely right. We're supposed to approach Him like a child. But at some point in the midst of the process of prayer, there ought to be an exchange where I cast my cares on Him who cares for me, and He gives me His peace, and I'm ready to do His will, if it's been really prayer and not just counseling God. So you got your thing written down on your paper? Some things are beyond searching out. What do you do when what God calls you to do seems utterly opposite of what is intuitive for what a loving God would ordain, or what is comfortable for you, or what even seems right? How can God treat me like this? I mean, how do you answer that? I mean, how do you walk through those seasons? Do you find an opportunity to go deeper into the mystery of sharing in Jesus' suffering so that you might share in His resurrection power? Or do you pull away from God? Why don't you just go ahead and consider this little sermon an invitation. Consider it an invitation to go deeper into the mystery of the fellowship with Christ for which you were created. If you want to have some proof that what God ordains is sometimes inscrutable, ask Isaiah. In Isaiah 20, I read this. In the year that the commander-in-chief who was sent by King Sargon of Assyria came to Ashdod and fought against it and took it, at that time, the Lord had spoken to Isaiah, son of Amoz, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from your loins and take your sandals off your feet. And he had done so, walking naked and barefoot. Then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot for 3 years, as a sign and a portent against Egypt and Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as captives, etc., etc. All right, hold on, slow down. What did you just say? Did the holy book, did sacred scripture just say that Isaiah walked around naked and barefoot for 3 years because the Lord told him to? That is a raw deal, my friends. Doesn't that seem like a raw deal? Maybe not. But it sure seems like a raw deal. I mean, Isaiah is one of God's good kids, right? One of the ones who's obedient. He's one of the ones who's on the right team. How could God treat His kid this way? I mean, public humiliation for 3 years just so that God could say to these people, that's what I'm going to do to you when I take you into exile. You're going to walk out naked and barefoot to your shame. Why take the kid that actually loves you and treat him this way? Put him through such humiliation. Shouldn't he be protected and let these other morons suffer? Or is Isaiah being invited into experiencing God's heart for those morons because God delights in him? Is the one who says, I will do your will, going to share in God's own breaking heart for people who don't want to do his will? I mean, or is the plan that if we serve Jesus, we get spared pain? No. The plan for me, the plan for you, is if you say, I will do your will, teach, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me your statutes. I will run in the path of your commands. That you will then get to experience God's heart for people. And he will put you smack dab in the middle of pain, sometimes shame, sometimes blame, sometimes misunderstanding. Are you hearing me? How could he do this to his kids, we want to ask? Don't we want to ask that? You read a passage like this, you think this one's bad? Naked and barefoot for 3 years? This is nothing compared to my all-time least favorite of how God treats his kids. Look at Ezekiel chapter 24. I mean, that's the kicker. Ezekiel 24:15, the word of the Lord came to me, mortal, with one blow. I'm about to take away, just listen to it. I'm about to take away from you the delight of your eyes, yet you shall not mourn or weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh, but not aloud. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind on your turban. Put on your sandals on your feet. Don't cover your upper lip or eat the bread of mourners. So I spoke to the people in the morning. And at evening, my wife died. And if you go on to read the rest of the passage, it's an object lesson. Really? Really, God? That's you're going to use my wife's going to die so that the people say, what is the meaning of this? Really? I remember reading this passage as a brand new Christian, putting my Bible down and backing away and saying, who are you? How can I even begin to trust you if this is how you're going to treat your kids? And God says to me, in my spirit or mind or however you want to call it, I don't know, he talks to me. And he says, Tim, what did Ezekiel do next? On the next morning, I did as I was commanded. And God says, Tim, do you know why Ezekiel did what I said? I said, I have no idea. I don't know. And the Lord said, because he knew me better than you do. Apparently, when you really understand the heart of God and the character of God, somehow you're able to get beyond the fact that his ways and his judgments are beyond searching out, and you come to a place of being able to trust him. I don't have to agree and I don't have to understand. I just have to know that he gave me his son. So he's good. And I'm telling you, if you base your understanding of his character on what you've seen in your 70, you're going to have a warped vision of God. Where is God revealed most clearly? In your life? Well, certainly he's at work in your life. But where is he? Has he chosen to reveal his deepest heart, his nature, his character? Where? He's let his glory shine most fully in Jesus. If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. And Paul reasons in Romans 8, if God gave us his own Son, his only Son, then how will he not along with him give us graciously all things? In other words, this is his heart. You and I are going to come into circumstances in our life that stretch the limits of what is fair and what is right. And nobody's going to be able to explain why what happened to you is right. And if they do, they're going to end up like Job's comforters, speaking just foolishness into the air, trying to get behind and unravel why God must have decided that this was the best thing to ordain. We don't know. I don't understand. I cry with you. I cry with you, and I don't know why, but I know he's good. It always comes back to a place, am I going to trust him or not? Am I going to do what Moses did, and am I going to enter the thick darkness where God dwells or not? Life is a drama. Life is like a play. And God is the author, and we don't get to pick the role we play. Would you choose your role? I mean, if you surrender to doing the will of Jesus, he already has a plan for your life. And sometimes the way that it pans out, the way that it panned out, I didn't even mention Jeremiah. I mean, sometimes your lot in life is to suffer with God's broken heart all your days, then die and go to your reward. That's not up to Jeremiah. He didn't pick the time in which he lived. He didn't choose to be a prophet. And you, of course, you have some freedom. But within the range of obedience to the Lord, you have a calling on your life, and you don't get to choose what role you play in the grand drama of human history. This is the point of this whole message. What we get to choose is, will we play our part well? That's it. Will we play our part well? Maybe you playing your part well means you will never be noticed. You will never be appreciated. You will serve invisibly behind the scenes a humble life of sacrifice and intercession, and somebody else will get to pick the fruit of your praying. I don't know. I don't know. But can we play our part well? Can we surrender to the Almighty? Can we say, you're good, God. You are good. This is not how I would have written this story. This is not a role that I would have chosen. But I trust that you gave me your Son. I've seen enough. I've experienced enough in Jesus to know that whatever you ordain must have some love behind it. Can we just play our part well? If you write your story, what do I want my life to be? It's not going to be what your life is. I hate to break it to you, especially the younger ones. I hate to break it to you. The story you write for your life isn't going to be the one you live. But can we play our part well? Will we be remembered or forgotten? Will we be praised or blamed? Will we be noticed or invisible? Will we be lonely or full of friends and fellowship? Will we be among the righteous in a great crowd, or will we be a voice crying in the wilderness? Will we be poor? Will we be poor and do without? Or will we be prosperous and live in a rich green field? So many factors are outside of our control, but can we just play our part well? There is an infinite difference between what we are as finite creatures and what he is. Can we just take our rightful place? Can we just let him be God? And can we take this thing I'm saying and not treat it as painful, untasteful duty, but can we come to see it as an invitation to let him get the glory? And that can we come round to the conclusion that our joy will only be complete when his getting glory is complete? John Mast, I'm just going to say this one more time. Can we just play our part well?